So here we are at the beginning of this sutta, when he is feeling remorseful and is shaken by this extreme act that the Buddha imposed on him as he was close to passing away. On one occasion, a number of bhikkhus were dwelling at Varanasi in the deer park at Isipatana. Then in the evening, the Venerable Chana emerged from seclusion and, taking his key, went from dwelling to dwelling, saying to the elder bhikkhus, "Let the elder venerable ones exhort me. Let them instruct me. Let them give me a Dhamma talk in such a way that I might see the Dhamma." When this was said, the elder bhikkhu said to the Venerable Chana, "Form, friend Chana, is impermanent. Feeling is impermanent. Perception is impermanent. Volitional formations are impermanent. Consciousness is impermanent. Form is not self. Feeling is not self. Perception is not self. Volitional formations are not self. Consciousness is not self. All formations are impermanent. All phenomena are not self." Then it occurred to the Venerable Chana, "I too think in this way. Form is impermanent, etc. Consciousness is impermanent. Form is not self. Consciousness is not self. All formations are impermanent. All phenomena are not self. But my mind does not launch out upon the stilling of all formations, the relinquishing of all acquisitions, the destruction of craving, dispassion, cessation, nibbana. Nor does it acquire confidence, settle down and resolve on it. Instead, agitation and clinging arise, and the mind turns back, thinking, 'But who is myself?' But such does not happen to one who sees the Dhamma. So who can teach me the Dhamma in such a way that I might see the Dhamma?" Then it occurred to the Venerable Chana, "This Venerable Ananda is dwelling at Kosambi in Kosita's park, and he has been praised by the teacher and is esteemed by his wise brothers in the holy life. The Venerable Ananda is capable of teaching me the Dhamma in such a way that I might see the Dhamma. Since I have so much trust in the Venerable Ananda, let me approach him." Then the Venerable Chana set his lodging in order, took his bowl and robe, and went to Gosita's park in Kosambi, where he approached the Venerable Ananda and exchanged greetings with him. When they had concluded their greetings and cordial talk, he sat down to one side and told the Venerable Ananda everything that had happened, adding, "Let the Venerable Ananda exhort me, let him instruct me, let him give me a Dhamma talk in such a way that I might see the Dhamma. Even by this much am I pleased with the Venerable Chana. Perhaps the Venerable Chana has opened himself up and broken through his barrenness. Lend your ear, friend Chana. You are capable of understanding the Dhamma." Then at once a lofty rapture and gladness arose in the Venerable Chana as he thought, "It seems that I am capable of understanding the Dhamma." The Venerable Ananda then said, "In the presence of the Blessed One, I have heard this, friend Chana. In his presence I have received the exhortation he spoke to the bhikkhu Kacchanagota." So, at this point, Venerable Ananda recites the Kacchanagota Sutta, which is also here in the Samyutta Nikaya, which is one of the most, I think, straightforward and just really straight on kinds of suttas. So here we go. At Sawati, then the Venerable Kacchanagota approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and said to him, "Venerable Sir, it is said, right view, right view. In what way, Venerable Sir, is there right view?" "This world, Kacchana, for the most part, depends on a duality, upon the notion of existence and the notion of non-existence." And the just for people, it's a little bit obscure there, the commentaries equate or gloss those as the beliefs of eternalism or the beliefs of annihilation Buddhism, the way they gloss the notions of existence and of non-existence. So the sense that, like in eternalism, the notion of existence, that everything is eternal, that there is a everlasting soul or self that continues on and does not end. And the notion of annihilationism being that nothing exists that, say, you know, as an example, these khandhas cease at death, and that's it, annihilation. But for one who sees the origin of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there is no notion of non-existence in regard to the world. And for one who sees the cessation of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there is no notion of existence, eternalism, in regard to the world. So I think just to rephrase that a little bit, if it's at all confusing, just saying that basically one can't hold to a notion or a doctrine of annihilationism if one correctly sees the arising of phenomena, because you see the fact that phenomena continue to arise based on causes and conditions. And similarly, you can't hold to a notion of eternalism if you see with correct wisdom the cessation of phenomena, that all the phenomena that we usually refer to or regard as ourself are constantly in a process of ceasing as well, so arising and ceasing. This world, Kachana, is for the most part shackled by engagement, clinging, and adherence. But this one with right view does not become engaged and cling through that engagement and clinging, mental standpoint, adherence, underlying tendency. He does not take a stand about myself. He has no perplexity or doubt that what arises is only suffering arising. What ceases is only suffering ceasing. His knowledge about this is independent of others. It is in this way, Kachana, that there is right view. All exists. Kachana, this is one extreme. All does not exist. This is the second extreme. Without veering towards either of these extremes, the Tathagata teaches the Dhamma by the middle way, or by the middle. With ignorance as condition, volitional formations come to be. With volitional formations as condition, consciousness comes to be. And then he continues through the standard paticca-samuppada through suffering. Such is the origin of this whole mass of suffering. But with the remainderless fading away and cessation of ignorance comes cessation of volitional formations. With the cessation of volitional formations, cessation of consciousness. And through to such is the cessation of this whole mass of suffering. So that's the teaching that Venerable Ananda gives. And the concluding paragraph in the Chana Sutta. So it is, friend Ananda, for those venerable ones who have such compassionate and benevolent brothers in the holy life to admonish and instruct them. And now that I have heard this Dhamma teaching of the Venerable Ananda, I have made the breakthrough to the Dhamma. So he enters the stream at that point. That's the end of the sutta.